A violent attack on the U.S. Capitol could be a turning point for social media. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. For years, and especially in the past year, far-right groups have used social platforms like Twitter and Facebook to organize violent movements. Wednesday, once again, we saw the results of that online organization lead to real-life violence, with an armed insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. And in response, Facebook and Twitter removed posts by President Trump that seemed to encourage the mob and locked Trump's accounts on both platforms. Joan Donovan is research director of the Shorenstein Center of Media, Politics, and Public Policy at Harvard Kennedy School. She told me Wednesday that for people who follow disinformation online, an event like the Capitol assault felt almost inevitable.
It would be my hope that we would realize a lot about our present moment in terms of the scale at which the fringe has moved into the mainstream and really exploited the openness of our information, of our media, of our court system in order to make today feel like it is the end of everything and the only way to stop the inevitable would be to riot and take over the Capitol. And in this moment, as I'm watching it coalesce and come together, you can go back 2 years ago and look at QAnon posts and whatnot and realize that this is something that a group of people have been primed for.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last time we talked, we said, hey, tech platforms, you can't take credit for the Arab Spring, but not take credit for the Proud Boys. And I wonder how much responsibility do these tech platforms bear here?
It's unfortunate that platform companies view their technologies as merely conduits for whatever anybody wants to say. The problem is though, they never really built a system that would ensure that people with money and political power wouldn't use their services to serve their own ends. And that's where we are right now, where it just seems like a message and a missive like that, if he were to have to do it in other places, there'd be a lot more context and reporting around why did the president call for this protest in the first place and how did he do it?
Could this be the start of a different conversation around social media for good or for ill as, you know, a national security threat?
When we think about what led us here, unfortunately, we're in this position where we still depend upon these companies in order to run our economy now. And so it's not as simple as trying to walk it back or trying to think through, well, what are the national security implications? We need to have the political will to do that. And right now, I'm not sure that this is going to be treated as a national security issue when one political party is benefiting from this kind of chaos.
Joan Donovan is research director of the Shorenstein Center of Media, Politics, and Public Policy at Harvard Kennedy School. Also on Wednesday, Facebook and Instagram started blocking hashtags related to the attack on the Capitol. And Facebook also said it would scan posts for mentions of bringing weapons to any location in or outside Washington. Pro-Trump extremists were also demonstrating in California, Indiana, Ohio, and other states. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.